Will the House come to order? Will the members please indicate their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
24 members present.
We have a quorum present to conduct business. Our chaplain today is Reverend John Campbell. Will the members please rise for the invocation?
Let's pray. O Great Spirit, when we walk the path of beauty with sincerity, honesty, courage, and truthfulness, we are like the upright basket which can hold the fruits of harvest. We can receive and share the blessings abundantly. But when we have strayed from the beauty path and are not trustworthy, honest, or reliable, we are like the basket turned over. We cannot contain, receive, or give the many blessings of life. When we are upside down, we are empty and useless. Help us to always be upright, to receive and share the blessings of life. Amen.
Representative Zawacki, would you lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the prayer be spread on the journal.
Are there any objections as to having the prayer spread across the journal? Hearing no objections, so ordered.
Mr.
Majority Leader.
I'd move and ask unanimous consent that Representative Hanley be excused from the call of the House today. He is ill.
Representative Hanley, being ill, is excused from the call of the House today. Will the clerk at this time please certify the House Journal for the 111th and the 112th legislative day.
I certify to the correctness of the House Journal for the 111th and 112th legislative days.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Journals for the 111th and 112th legislative days, as certified, be approved.
Are there any objections as to the correctness of those journals? Hearing none, the journals stand approved. Do we have any guests for introduction today? Representative Ivan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's always a rare privilege for me to introduce a constituent from home area, and I'd like this body to please help me welcome constituents from Bethel area in the Paradovich Gallery. First, we have Annie David Dowluk. I ask you, my name is Dowluk. Tilly Davidson, Okovach, Anna Thompson, and of course, Dia David, my staff person in my office. Please help me welcome these people from Bethel area.
Any further guests for introduction? Representative Gail Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It gives me great pleasure today to introduce a constituent of Representative Navarre's and mine, Larry Porter with Phillips Petroleum from Kenai.
Any further guests for introduction? This brings us down to messages from the governor.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
Senate has passed the following and they have been returned. Committee substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 49 Hess, recognizing 1992 as the 75th anniversary of the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 68 MLV, urging the Congress to reopen the Native allotments process for the benefit of Native military veterans. The Senate has passed the following and they are transmitted for consideration. Committee substitute for Senate Bill 74 Hess amended by the Senate Hess Committee. An act relating to pooled health insurance for individuals who are uninsured or denied adequate coverage and providing for an effective date.
Two standing committees, Labor and Commerce and Finance.
Senate Bill number 392 by Senator Rohde. An act relating to appearances in civil actions and making an exception from the requirement of representation by an attorney for appearances on behalf of nonprofit housing corporations in certain civil actions.
The Judiciary Committee.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 465 rules by the Senate Rules Committee, an act relating to the land exchange between the State of Alaska and Cape Fox Corporation and providing for an effective date.
Two standing committees, Resources and the Finance Committee.
I have no further messages from the Senate.
Do we have any other communications that come before this body?
No, Mr. Speaker.
This brings us down to reports of standing committees.
The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 191, Early Childhood Intervention Services. Recommends it be replaced with a CS Finance with the same title and due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, McLean, Navarro, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, and Ulmer. With no recommendations, Sharp, Phillips, Larson, and Barnes. The report was signed by co-chairs Navarro and McLean. HB 191 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 327, Primary Elections. Recommends it be replaced with the CS Judiciary with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, McLean, Boyer, Brown, Larson, Navarro, and Ulmer. Signing do not pass, Copeland, Sharp, Phillips, and Barnes. Report was signed by co-chairs Navarro and McLean. House Bill 327 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 384, Administrative Costs of Contractors under Daycare Assistance Program. Recommends due pass and attaches a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Navarro, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, and Ulmer. Signing do not pass, Barnes. With no recommendation, McLean, Sharp, Phillips, and Larson. Report was signed by co-chairs McLean and Navarro. HB 384 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 387, Regulation of Household Septic Systems. Recommends it be replaced with the CS Resources with its new title and no recommendations. Signing due pass, Boyer, Brown, Navarro, and Ulmer. With no recommendation, McLean, Copeland, Sharp, Larson, and Barnes. Report was signed by co-chairs Navarro and McLean. HB 387 has no further referral. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 408, Grants for Local Emergency Planning. Recommends it be replaced with a CSCRA with a new title and due pass. Signing due pass, McLean, Navarro, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, and Ulmer. With no recommendation, Phillips, Sharp, and Larson. The report was signed by co-chairs Navarro and McLean. House Bill 408 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 469, Common Trust Funds. Had no recommendation. Signing due pass, Gruenberg and Martin. With no recommendation, Miller, Hanley, Ellis, Donnelly, and Parnell. Report was signed by Chairman Donnelly. HB 469 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 524, Limited Entry Permit Transfer Tax. Recommends it be replaced with a CS Resources with a new title. Had no recommendations. Attached a fiscal note and a zero fiscal note. Signing due pass, Lincoln and Carney. Signing do not pass, Lehman. With no recommendation, Davidson, Finkelstein, and Ivan. Report was signed by Chairman Davidson. HB 524 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Finance Committee has considered House Bill 563, Disability Insurance Rate Approval. Recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Navarro, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, and Ulmer. With no recommendation, McLean, Sharp, Phillips, and Larson. Report was signed by co-chairs Navarro and McLean. HB 563 has no further referral. The Judiciary Committee has considered House Bill 569, Longevity Bonus Program Regulations. Recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Miller, Martin, Gruenberg, and Parnell. With no recommendation, Donnelly. Report was signed by Chairman Donnelly. HB 569 has no further referral. The Resources Committee has considered House Bill 571, Oil Spill Response Fund, Fisher Losses. Recommends it be replaced with the CS Resources with the same title and due pass and attaches an indeterminate fiscal note. Signing due pass, Davidson, Ivan, Carney, Finkelstein, Moyer, Lincoln, and Lehman. Report was signed by Chairman Davidson. HB 571 has a further referral to the Finance Committee. The Resources Committee has considered committee substitute for Senate Bill 154, Judiciary, Limit Liability for Environmental Damage and Liens. Recommends it be replaced with the House Committee Substitute Resources with the same title and due pass. Signing due pass, Lehman, Moyer, and Ivan. Signing do not pass, Carney. With no recommendation, Davidson and Finkelstein, and signing to amend, Lincoln. Report was signed by Chairman Davidson. Senate Bill 154 has a further referral to the Judiciary Committee. The Finance Committee has considered Senate Bill 347, Governor's Committee on Employment of People with Disabilities. Recommends due pass. Signing due pass, Navarro, Boyer, Brown, Copeland, and Ulmer. With no recommendation, McLean, Sharp, Phillips, and Larson. Report was signed by co-chairs Navarro and McLean. Senate Bill 347 has no further referral. I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Do we have any reports or special committees?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations or resolutions?
Citation in memoriam, the Reverend Robert Wells by Representative Navarro.
That will go to rules.
I have no resolutions for introduction.
Introduction, first reading, and reference of House bills.
I have none.
This brings us down into the daily calendar. Madam Clerk, would you read the first item on that calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 460, Finance. an act providing for an advisory vote on access to basic health care for all Alaskans and providing for an effective date. We have amendment number one.
Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the bill and pending amendments be referred back to rules.
Are there any objections? Hearing objection. Representative Taylor.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I'd call the House, first off, on my objection, and secondly, do you need to do that, or?
Excuse me.
Having asked to call the House, do I then defer back to the chair?
Would the House is called. Proceed.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I then, awaiting the fulfillment of the call, still proceed forward with my comments so as to save time during this morning's session. I think it's inappropriate that this legislation be sent back to committee because I'm fearful that with the lateness of time in the session that may kill the legislation. In fact, the amendments that are currently pending would seem to me to provide us with an opportunity for this body acting as a whole, spell that anyway, yes, sir, to work to accomplish what I think could be some very beneficial purposes. In other words, let us give the people of the state of Alaska an entire shopping list of advisory questions that they could answer, everything from the capital punishment question on to other matters. I note even an amendment now on the question of a constitutional amendment. So, in other words, these are, I think, very serious matters that we all are aware of, that the public has petitioned us at various times through the normal processes to think about and act upon, and I think many of us take polls in our districts that indicate a very high percentage of the public may favor some of these concepts, and that sending it back to rules, which is a committee that would not normally hold hearings on substantive legislation and make major amendments. In the past history of rules, it has been a committee that primarily would do technical amendments and consensual amendments so as to help clean up a piece of legislation for presentment on the floor. I think that's an inappropriate place to put the legislation. A more appropriate place might be a more substantive committee such as Judiciary, but I don't believe that even that is appropriate in light of the late date, that we're probably better off to act on it today, up or down, on the legislation and its amendments, and let the people know where we as a body stand in a year like this. I think it's important that they have the opportunity to know where the membership stands on specific given issues. And this would provide a wonderful opportunity to do that, Mr. Speaker. And though some members may feel that some of these issues are very controversial, at least we would have the opportunity of letting the public provide us with their decisions on each of these controversial questions, which is much better than having just the Rules Committee itself do it. Have I talked long enough to satisfy the call, Mr. Speaker?
The call, I believe, is satisfied.
Then I'll shut up and
but
sit
the
down.
Chair
Thank
isn't.
You very much.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 460 be referred to the Rules Committee? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
23 yeas, 16 nay.
The bill is referred to rules. Madam Clerk, the next item on the calendar.
Committee substitute for House Bill 388. Pass.
Mr. Majority Leader, would the House stand? Will the House come back to order? Madam Clerk, would you read the next item on today's calendar?
Committee substitute for House Bill 388, HESS, an act establishing a loan guarantee and interest rate subsidy program for assistive technology.
Would the House stand at ease? clerk did read the title of the bill. The bill is before us in third reading and under debate. Representative Davidson.
Mr. Speaker, may we have a very brief at ease?
With the House stand at ease. Back to order.
Before the at ease, we had the bill before us in third reading, under debate, with extensive at eases.
Are you ready for the question? The question is being called. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 388 Hess pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? The clerk tally the board.
34 yeas, 3 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 388 Hess has passed the House.
The call was on just one item. The call was on the rules.
Where's the free blind mic?
Will the clerk read the next item, please?
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 231 CRA. An act authorizing the Commissioner of Natural Resources to convey land within the Chugach State Park to the municipality of Anchorage.
Third reading, under debate. Representative Taylor.
Oh, brief at ease, Mr. Speaker.
Would the House stand at ease? At ease, there was an amendment that was brought to the attention of the clerk, but the bill is before us in third reading. The amendment, in case you don't have it, is of a very simple nature, not that the consequences would not be great, but I'm saying that it could be explained by the clerk here if necessary. Representative Taylor.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move amendment number one, or move that we return to second reading for purposes of a specific amendment, that being amendment number one.
There are objections.
There being objection, let me first state that the amendment is a very simple one. All it really does is clarify the language so as to leave the management of this public trust land available for modification as such modification might be necessary in the future. Utilizing the word perpetuity, I think, is a dangerous precedent because you establish forever the management policies that shall be applied. And since this land area is one that is in a state of flux, so to speak, with impacts upon it from multiple and different users, for a lot of different purposes, I think you're much better off to allow that Bird Creek be managed as public trust lands, but not necessarily in perpetuity to do so. In essence, by withdrawing this word, we accomplished the same purpose that we did just the other day when we passed legislation in here to prevent people from putting things into a perpetual status. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That's the reason I would like to go back to second.
The motion before us to go back to second reading for the purpose of amendment number one, which the sponsor has basically indicated what his intentions are. The amendment itself is not debatable at this time, but if members would care to hear more debate on it, you vote to go back to second reading. Are there any objections or objections maintained to go back to second reading? Any objections? The bill is before us in second reading. Representative Taylor, to move the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
Hearing objections, Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, I believe we should also delete on line 10 the word in, the last in on line 10. That's a friendly amendment to his amendment.
Representative Taylor?
Yes, I noted that too, just as I moved the thing. The majority leader had pointed the same thing out to me, and she's absolutely correct.
Madam Clerk, can you... Okay, the clerk already has spotted that.
Yes.
And are there any objections that that be an amendment to the amendment? Are there any objections? Okay, so it's in. Are there any objections to the amendment as amended? Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll object. This is not that important. It's just the purpose language of the bill. But what's happening with the exchange is we're taking out lands out of the state park, essentially in perpetuity, because they're going to be developed, actually are developed in some cases, and we're going to replace them with other lands. And I'm not exactly sure of the impact of what the minority is proposing here, but I suspect that's probably the language you use in most of our state parks, that we're setting up with the intent of setting them aside for good as public trust land. It doesn't mean we can't change our minds in the future, and it's occurred, in fact, this bill is changing our minds. We are taking lands out of state park, and we're moving some around here because we've changed our minds slightly. I just don't see any great need to take this out. This is probably standard language, and I don't really understand the point.
Representative Zawacki.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Since you're talking about land that happens to be in my district, I support the amendment because during the discussion, this is not something new that just happened this year. This has been an ongoing discussion with the state, municipality, and the private owners for several years, in fact. And I guess this is the first time that I've seen the word perpetuity put in into the bill or even discussed with any of the public or private entities out there. I think it's a good amendment because, as I said before, there was no problem in regards to how it was being set up. I don't think it will have any ramifications whatsoever in regards to what we're trying to do with the bill itself.
Any further debate? Representative Davidson.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I rise in opposition to the amendment because during our meetings in House of Resources, none of the previous speakers' arguments came forth, and therefore would urge my colleagues not to support the amendment.
Any further debate? Representative Taylor, it is your amendment.
My good colleague, co-chair of Resources, is absolutely correct, and I apologize to both him and the committee, because I should have noted that earlier, but the bill moved so quickly through the process from the time it came over until it came on the floor, I didn't really address the issue until just now, and that's my fault. I do apologize for that. But I would suggest that and an answer to my other good friend in the back of the room there, I have never seen the words in perpetuity used before on legislation going across this floor regarding a land management issue. I think the intent is sufficiently strong within the language of the legislation as it now stands to protect those concerns for which the legislation was brought in the first place. And I think it's a real good compromise, from what I understand it, between the private property owners, the municipality, and the state, so that all parties are kind of working together here. I think that's very healthy. But to lock in future land managers by saying that these specific lands forever, in perpetuity, shall be managed in this way, I think is an unfortunate choice of words, and that we're better off to leave our land managers with the words, quote, as a public trust land, because I think that gives them broader discretion, and I think it's that kind of good common sense discretion we want them to use. It isn't interposed here to do any damage to this legislation, and I really, in my heart, don't think it does hurt the legislation in any way.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. The minority leader said this bill came over real fast and was on the floor. I believe I had this bill in CNRA quite some time ago, and we did have quite a discussion. I would ask just for a brief at ease to clarify from the sponsor.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have amended number one before us. Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the ideas. In speaking with staff of the sponsor of this bill, it doesn't appear that there would be too much of a problem in taking it out, at least from her perspective, so I wouldn't object to it.
Are the objections maintained to the amendment? Well, the objections are maintained. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number one as amended be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
28 yeas, 8 nay.
Amendment number one, as amended, has been adopted. The bill moves back up into third reading and under debate. Ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 231, CRA, pass the House? Oh, wait. We got to clear the board here. Kind of surprised me to see I already voted. Okay, the question is, shall committee substitute for Senate Bill 231, CRA, amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Does any member fail to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Taylor?
If I could change from nay to yay,
thank you. Nay to yay. But no rationale or discussion as how one has voted. Would the clerk tally the board?
36 yays, 0 nays.
Committee substitute for Senate Bill 231, CRA, amended House, has passed the House. Mr. Majority Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We have two citations on the calendar today. Citation honoring Charlie May Pat Berkeley. Citation honoring Sidney Charles Huntington. I'd ask unanimous consent they be approved.
Are there any objections? Hearing objections? Hearing no objections, the citations have been approved. This drops us down to unfinished business. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of House Bill 566 at this time.
Reconsideration of 566. Madam Clerk, would you read the title of that bill?
Committee substitute for House Bill Number 566, Finance, amended. An act establishing an education endowment in the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation to fund grants for educational purposes related to the Exxon Valdez oil spill, to promote environmental monitoring through increased public awareness and for related marine pollution and coastal habitat education, and providing for an effective date.
It's before us in third reading and available for debate. Representative Mary Miller.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease?
Will the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have House Bill 566 before us under reconsideration, and it is in third reading and available for debate. Representative Taylor?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I think this the manner in which we're proceeding today is probably ill-advised to this extent, that 566 is a mechanism for the expenditure of funds which are not going to be expended from the best I can tell. As long as 411, however, has not moved from this House, I can't state that specifically. 411 may very well result in, and it's impossible to tell until it has left this body, a funding mechanism for this legislation. But without it, the legislation itself is sort of a hollow gesture, and I think it's kind of inappropriate to make that gesture, especially in light of the fact that there is a board of trustees which will expend hundreds of millions of dollars in this same area doing the identical and duplicative work that is being suggested here. I seriously doubt that anyone in the room would quarrel with that statement, that the trustees and their hundreds of millions of dollars of authority would not take up monitoring of the environment and increased public awareness for related marine pollution and coastal habitat education. I mean, those are the very substance of the things that they'll be expending all that money on. Why should we in the state be duplicating those efforts? I mean, I know of no, I've heard of no excuse or reason in this body why we should throw a small amount of money at duplicating something that the federal government and this state, as trustees, will be spending a huge amount of money on, probably for literally years and years and decades yet to come. And that to duplicate it is in essence running totally contrary to the things that we've promised the people we would do, and that's reduce duplication in government. A good place to start would be not to pass this legislation. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Davidson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Speaker. It always helps to read the bill. House Bill 566 is enabling legislation that establishes an education endowment. Education, Mr. Speaker. And as the previous speaker mentioned, it's education for purposes related to the oil spill, something which I would hope none of us would ever forget, as well as our children and our grandchildren. It promotes environmental monitoring through increased public awareness and also educates school children as well as visitors to our state regarding the marine pollution and the coastal habitat. Mr. Speaker, this bill simply creates the vehicle whereby even non-governmental sources can contribute to this fund. It would be administered, simply administered, by the Science and Technology Foundation through their volunteer committees. This money could end up as in a museum, in classrooms. It could serve in many ways to the benefit of our state. And the glory of it now, of course, is that at no cost to our state. This is simply enabling education that would allow the Exxon Valdez Trustee Council to put money into it if it so wished, but there would be no duplication in any way. And I would urge my colleagues to please vote for this education measure. Thank you.
Representative Zawacki.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I oppose 566, and the reason that I oppose it is because of the mission that the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation was originally set up to do. And I think it's one of the bright spots that we can be proud of as to how we set it up and how that mission has progressed through the years. It's a very successful, in fact, I consider it a very resounding success as to what they've been doing over the years. But even the Science Technology Foundation has admitted that setting up this endowment is in contrary to the mission that we originally set up the Science and Technology Foundation. They do have concerns with setting this up. Yes, they said that they could probably set it up as they presently have, through a volunteer peer review, but you would have to, my feeling is they would have to set up a new volunteer peer review, because the purposes of the education endowment and the purposes of the existing mission do not relate. They are different in itself. There is still a concern, and I will read only one line that they submitted in the letter over this weekend. They've stated, though, as long as the administration of the Oil Spill Education Fund did not compromise the integrity of the Alaska Science and Technology Foundation, we could administer the fund. Mr. Speaker, it is my feeling, at least, that I believe that we could wind up compromising the mission, the existing mission, that is done so well in itself. And also, and I'm not sure, maybe somebody could help me, but there is a fiscal note. Even the Science Technology admitted that. They admitted that they will have to add existing or new staff because the present staff could not absorb this. It is there. They've had admitted in this letter also. I unfortunately don't have that fiscal note, so I don't know if the fiscal note is coming from general funds or if it was shown as coming from some other fund that doesn't exist at this time. So, Mr. Speaker, I still oppose it only because I want to protect and keep the mission of the Alaska Science Technology intact as it presently is.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 566, finance amended, pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
17 yeas, 20 nay.
Committee substitute for House Bill 566, finance amended, has not passed the House on reconsideration, or failed passage. Representative Mackey.
Under unfinished business?
Unfinished business.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to bring up reconsideration of House Bill 411.
Reconsideration of House Bill 411. Madam Clerk, would you read the title of that?
Committee substitute for House Bill 411, Finance, an act making appropriation for restoration projects relating to the Exxon Valdez oil spill.
Third reading and under debate, Representative Mackey.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to, again, put a call on the House, but I believe I would need to first make a motion in order to do that. Is that correct, or can I call the House now?
The bill is before us. You can place the call on that bill, so there is a call on the House.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent we return to second reading for the purposes of an amendment, that being amendment number 18, which is being distributed.
Are there any objections to going back to second reading? Hearing objections. Ready for the question?
Representative Taylor.
Maybe if we could just have a brief at ease, Mr. Speaker, we might resolve some objections.
Would the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, there was objections to moving back to second reading for the purpose of an amendment. My understanding at this point is that the objections have been withdrawn. Are there any objections to moving back to second reading? Are there any objections? We are in second reading. Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent for amendment number 18.
There is an objection. We'll let Representative Mackey explain it, and you're objecting. Do you want to explain amendment number 18, Representative Mackey?
Well, I'll defer to the representative.
Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, ask for the deeds, please.
With the House stand at ease. Amendment to that amendment that appears to be germane to go back to the, being that we are in second reading, Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, I move the amendment to the amendment, number 18.
Object.
Hearing objections, Representative Taylor.
And I call the House.
The House is, maybe it isn't called. The House is called, but that does not stop debate. It might, Representative Randy Phillips, you've moved the amendment to the amendment.
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I want the minority leader to listen real carefully on this one because it might be music to his ears. We're taking a little bit more money away from the Eak Lake proposal and inserting that money for fish rehabilitation in the Prince William Sound. And that's what the amendment does. It changes the funding source from the Eak Lake timber sale and putting it into the proposal as proposed by the district from Southeast, representative from Southeast.
Representative Mackey.
Just a point of clarification, Mr. Speaker. I believe the math is incorrect on the amendment to the amendment. I understand the intent of the funding source change that the representative from Eagle River is trying to accomplish, but the three projects in the main amendment, the original amendment, totaled 1.215, and if you subtract that from the 4350, as he's indicated in his amendment to the amendment, it should be 3135000, and I don't know how he wants to handle that, but it's an incorrect, there's a...
Representative Randy Phillips, was that a mathematical oversight on your part?
Mr. Speaker, I think the clerk can take care of that.
Yes, I'm asking you, though, is it...
Yes.
Okay, would the clerk please insert, it's 313500 on the second part there. On page 3, line 7, where it says insert, it's 313500. Appear to be 100,000 slipped out there somehow. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. While we're waiting for the call to be satisfied, could we go back up to introduction of guests?
Are there any objections? Hearing none, proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. In the Elizabeth Paratovich Gallery, Representative Gail Phillips and I have a constituent from Homer, Sue Christensen.
Do we have any further guests for introduction? Okay, we have a call on the House, but debate, of course, has not been satisfied. Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I noticed a friend of mine and a constituent from Valdez. He's president, I believe, is his title of Prince William Sound Conservation Alliance, Dave Jenka.
Any further debate upon the amendment to the amendment? Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would oppose this amendment to the amendment. In essence, this amendment would be taking money out of the Eak Lake timber buyout, and if we're going to spend this money on buying timber, and I think, obviously, I have mixed emotions on it, but if there is going to be money spent for that, that the Eak Lake area is one of the most sensitive areas in this bill, in my opinion, far more sensitive than even the Kachemak Bay area. because it's an area right outside of the town of Cordova, very close to the population area, and it is an area that is the companies are going to continue, have been logging and are going to continue logging right up to that area. The area that's been used, it is being used, it is a fish spawning area, and it's an area that probably of all the timber buyouts in here, it's the one that I think is the most supportable in this bill, and I would absolutely oppose this amendment to the amendment.
Representative Taylor.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would withdraw any objection that I have to this amendment. Number one, it goes into fish, which will provide people of the area with both employment and food. And I think that's much to be preferred over merely buying up either moratorium on timber harvesting rights or buying up the land itself. And since this is native land that was acquired under land claims, I don't believe you can purchase the land. So as a consequence, all we're doing is purchasing the opportunity for that native corporation to employ people on that land. And it seems so strange to me, Mr. Speaker. I keep hearing these terms. They were used during the debate last time around on this very subject. And the term is, what a curse it would be to have timber harvesting occur in some of these areas. You and I in Southeast find ourselves cursed when people prevent the harvesting of timber. When we hear of a new timber sale going through, we know that the communities of Sitka and Wrangell and Ketchikan will continue to have employment for their people. So when a timber sale is prevented, we are very concerned about it. We go to the governor and ask that he intervene and so on, which we've done. And in Southeast Alaska, we consider timber sales a blessing. Where this idea has come that they are a curse, I don't understand. Because we in Southeast have a tremendous tourism influx. I think the people of Homer, Alaska would be very, very pleased and probably not have 13% unemployment right now if, in fact, they could have just half of the people that show up off the tour boats and wander through Juneau, Alaska every summer. And the people that come through Southeast Alaska go right by all of this cursed view, this evil, awful-looking stuff that they talk about harvesting of timber. And how in the world can Southeast Alaska be a beautiful and attractive place with record salmon runs every year if, in fact, timber sales are a curse, as people are implying? Well, I don't think they are, Mr. Speaker. It's paranoia driven by fears by a very small minority of people who tell these folks, oh, gosh, it'll be evil and awful if somebody went to work at Eyak Lake. They're working at Eyak Lake right now. Because somebody's working out there, a road got built out there. Maybe a handicapped person will now, for the first time, have access to Eyak Lake. They certainly wouldn't have had access had nobody gone out there to harvest timber. It's real hard to run a wheelchair through virgin timber. But we often get caught up in our zeal, worrying about the people who are athletic enough to hike back in to some of these pristine areas. We forget about the fact that there's an equal number of people that are locked in crutches and wheelchairs. Will they ever have access because of something we've done here? No, not if we keep voting for bills like this. We will keep locking up areas and not allowing those people to ever have access to places like Eyak Lake. I think they should be allowed that opportunity. And the owners of that land should be allowed the full freedom of the free market system. Russia didn't survive because large government made all the decisions about how land uses should occur. One of the single biggest cries among the Russian people today is, give us land. Give us the opportunity to go out and do something for our children and our grandchildren. Let us earn our own keep today. We don't want a dole. We don't want to be handed money by a big government. And what you're talking about with Eyak Lake is big government handing a native corporation money, which then goes into what? A dividend distribution? A pittance? They get a couple hundred bucks each one? That's gone. Does it turn into jobs for those people? I mean, I remember my dear friend, Representative Boucher, standing on this floor with tears in his eyes, talking about a very similar concept when he said, give me a fish today and I eat today. Teach me to fish and I eat forever. That's what we're really talking about here. Let's give some people some fish so they can learn to fish and they can enjoy fish and use fish and eat fish, as opposed to locking them up so they cannot even go to work in the land they selected to work upon.
Representative Finkelstein, the amendment to the amendment.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to correct the record from the remarks of the previous speaker and to reinforce the points made by the representative from Prince William Sound, Eyak Lake already has handicap access. The best road in Cordova goes right by Eyak Lake and around Eyak Lake. It is not the attempt to protect a pristine area that the minority leader seems to think. It's actually a community recreation area and a water source. I'm not sure where he gets his information from.
Are you ready for the question? Representative Taylor will, if you can make your remarks briefer.
Very brief. Just responding to the previous speaker, I clearly understood all of that about that area, and that's why I kept saying just like Eyak Lake as opposed to it specifically. I knew the road existed. In fact, I've been out there. It's a beautiful area. But most of the lakes in the future that we're talking about, the streams that would have been provided access had actions like this not taken place, will not be there if this bill passes. There won't be roads to places like Eyak Lake. And I think that's a good road, and it's a road that provides access. We ought to encourage that instead of discourage it.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall the amendment to Amendment 18 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
14 yeas, 25 nays.
The amendment to Amendment 18 has failed adoption, putting the original Amendment 18 before us and under debate. Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, I have another amendment to the amendment.
It fits within the parameters of the Amendment 18. Okay, with the House stand at ease. At ease. We had amendment number 18 before us, and there is another amendment to the amendment, and the chair has indicated here that I will go up to the second amendment to the amendment on this, not talking about third degree, but because of the nature of the bill, after that, the individual would have to introduce an entirely new amendment because it gets very difficult beyond then. Representative Randy Phillips.
Mr. Speaker, I'm going to withdraw that amendment to the amendment with that ruling and offer another amendment to the amendment and hopefully that'll be final. Okay?
You make it revised.
Just revised.
Okay, so the second amendment to amendment number 18 you're asking to withdraw?
Yes.
Okay. Are there any objections? The second amendment to the amendment to amendment 18 has been withdrawn.
Okay, help me out on this.
That puts amendment for us in its pristine form. Representative Mackey.
Speaker, on the amendment now?
On the amendment 18.
Well,
you yield the floor. Yeah, Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, can I have it at ease, please?
Would the House stand at ease? For the at ease, we had amendment number 18 before us. There now should be on your desk a second amendment to that amendment. Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, I move the adoption of the amendment to the amendment number 18.
Hearing objection. Representative Phillips, you have the floor.
Speaker, if you look at the amendment, it's quite simple. It takes $1.2 million out of various sections of the bill to accommodate for amendment number 18. Essentially, it takes $200,000 from Eak Lake, which, by the way, is in Section 2. It takes $300,000 in Section 7, which is the Kenai River watershed. $200,000 in Section 10, which is the Fog Neck Island purchase. Section 21, $200,000 are architectural resources for the affected area, and $300,000 out of Fort Richardson's hatchery for a sum total of $1.2 million, and drops about $15,000 from the original amendment, essentially what it does.
Any further debate upon the amendment 2 to amendment 18? The call has not been satisfied. We are one member short at this point. Any further debate? Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in opposition to this second amendment to the House Amendment 18. I think we're getting jello all over the place, and I just don't think this is a good way to go. Thank you.
Representative Randy Phillips.
Mr. Chairman, I tend to agree with the representative from Kodiak, but frankly, the amendment forced me to do this, and I frankly don't want to do it, but, you know, we've debated this for 2-3 days, not only in finance, but here on the floor, but there's some things you got to do you don't like.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Could the maker of the amendment to the amendment explain the very bottom of the amendment under Section 31. I'm trying to figure out how that fits.
Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, the sum total that I made was $1.2 million. The prime sponsor of the amendment number 18 is asking for $1.15. So essentially what I've done is deleted a $1.215, I just say, in which I essentially have done is deleted $15,000 from his original request to $1.2 instead of $1.215.
The call has been satisfied. Is there any further debate? Representative Mackey.
Just a question, again, to follow up on the representative from Juneau's concern. At the very bottom, it says, under Section 31, delete $1 million and insert $985,000. And under Section 31, I don't see anywhere where it says $1 million to be able to make those changes. And it was my understanding by doing that, the language that he has in this, that it does pick up the other $15,000 that's needed to make it complete and consistent with the original version of Amendment Number 18. So I think it's possible he might have been looking at a previous draft, but at least the draft I have in front of me, which was distributed to all the members on the floor under Section 31, only has language. It doesn't have any figures.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I know this. If we're not looking at the right documents, this can be confusing, but what we have before us is amendment number 2 to amendment 18. And so the portion down at the bottom that says under section 31 is referring to amendment 18, not to the original bill. And if you'll refer to amendment 18, on the second line of section 31, the term $1 million appears, and that is what this is referring to.
Okay. Ready for the question. The question is, shall the amendment to Amendment 18 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
19 yeas, 20 nay.
The amendment to the amendment has failed. That puts Amendment number 18 as presented before us and under debate. Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Amendment number 18 was developed after working with the representative from Valdez and his staff over the weekend, as I indicated that I was going to do last Friday, to try to take a look at perhaps some of the projects that were being asked for by people in the Valdez and Cordova area, actual groups that are working to enhance fishery stocks and those types of things that weren't included in the bill. I included with the amendment for the information of those members the description. You'll find three attachments the description of each of those projects, and they're there for your review. I asked them to be delivered, distributed earlier, so you'd have a chance to look at those. I won't go into them in depth, but I would just like to say that the Main Bay Hatchery, the first one for $1 million, in 1990, the state Fish and Game basically gave the Prince William Sound hatcheries an ultimatum. Either someone take it over, or the Main Bay Hatchery, which is primarily a red salmon hatchery, or they were going to close it. Prince William Sound Aquaculture Association did so, but with the caveat that the state would provide funds for needed renovation work that needed to take place on that hatchery. The amount of the renovation was for $5 million, and then the state, and that was part of the agreement, and the state came through with $3 million, which left a $2 million debt that that association had to absorb, which they did, and they had to get some financing for it. So this $1 million would actually go towards reducing that $2 million debt by 50%. I wasn't trying to be radical in taking the money from the Fort Richardson project, but this was kind of a, I felt like a compromise to address their problem there with the Prince William Sound Aquaculture, and only retired 50% of the existing debt. They would still continue to have $1 million worth of debt that they're going to have to try to pay off. The other funds for the Valdez Fisheries Development Association hatcheries were studies, two projects that they feel are needed for wild stock and hatchery stock developments. And you'll see also the backup information on those, including with the amendment, a description of the actual costs and the time frames. And these were things that were asked to be included, but were not considered and were not included. It's my understanding, and I won't speak for the member from Valdez, but it was certainly my feeling, and I've had a number of other members indicate to me, because I spoke on the issue the other day, that that they would like to see perhaps one last effort towards addressing some of the things that the member from Valdez spoke about the other day. And it's my understanding that he does feel more comfortable, and certainly his staff provided me with this information, which I appreciate. I don't think this is a radical thing to do. I think that in regards to where the money is coming from, the director of the FRED division indicated to me that there is nothing produced at the Fort Richardson hatchery that is going into Prince William Sound right now. Also, 2 years ago, the department stopped the projects in Fort Richardson that were going to, which at one time delivered sport fish projects into Prince William Sound. They dropped the projects 2 years ago, at which time PISWAC, which is Prince William Sound Aquaculture Association, took over and expanded the numbers of fish stock that Whittier, Valdez, and Cordova to compensate and to make up for those losses that the department cut out of Fort Richardson. So the PISWAC is doing, and has been for the last couple of years, enhancing the sport fish stocks in Prince William Sound. Therefore, I think that it's appropriate that that money be utilized for that purpose. Thank you.
Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, Representative from Craig is partially correct. 1991 was the last year that Fort Richardson's hatchery will stock Whittier and Cordova, but they're also expanding in other areas of the Sound and Cook Inlet for fish. That's all I can say right now, because this letter right here that you have is incorrect, because we just talked to the manager at the hatchery on that. For the, anyway, for the record, the last year for Cordova was 1991.
Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, this amendment is a difficult one in some ways, because the projects are good ones. I like these three projects, and I agree that this money probably should be spent there. But the problem is, where do we get it in a bill like this? And I think the amendment to the amendment that we had just before was probably a much fairer approach, and I think this is indeed a radical approach. It defeats a project, is what it does, at the Fort Richardson Hatchery. With only getting about half of the funding, that project is not going to go. And so if we're interested in doing a project of putting fish in streams, then we're not going to accomplish it with this amendment. With the amendment to the amendment, I think we could have, and I think it was one that, even though it's tough to craft this on the floor, I think it was one that could have allowed all of the other projects to go ahead. I'm going to oppose this amendment because of that, but I do support these three projects, and I wish that maybe we can find a way to craft it so this, these can be funded.
Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I must rise in opposition to this amendment because the thing that's radical here is the thing that I think most of us are not thinking about, and that is that first, we must understand that Alaska is one of the globe's finest repositories that maintains the integrity of our wild salmon stock. That's worth repeating, Mr. Speaker. Alaska has some of the best wild salmon genetic stock in the world, and we must maintain the integrity of that stock. The radical part about this bill, or this amendment rather, is that we are going forward in the state of Alaska with ever more hatchery building without understanding the full impact of that hatchery building and the fish that come from those hatcheries on the habitat and how they put pressures on the wild stock. And I think that's something worth mentioning. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Sharp, you were seeking the floor. Okay, Representative Mackey.
Yeah, Mr. Speaker, I can't help but respond to that, and I don't want to get a long debate. The representative off the floor indicated to me that maybe I was being radical because as a commercial fisherman, I should know that hatchery development and participation in Prince William Sound works to the detriment of wild stock fish, and that's exactly basically what he just said. However, Mr. Speaker, my concern is not with the commercial fishing industry. Concerns in Southeast or Kodiak or other places right now about hatcheries in Valdez. My concern with this amendment is to address something that took place in Prince William Sound with this oil spill. This amendment doesn't build new hatcheries or doesn't further complicate probably an issue that I would agree with the member from Kodiak is out there, but I think that's something that's different than this particular piece of legislation in enhancement here, and I'm certainly, if I was utilizing politics, obviously I wouldn't have inserted this amendment. But what I think it does is these folks have these studies that need to be done, and this investment, they have a $2 million debt, which is enhancing Prince William Sound, which I thought some of the money was going to be used for, which clearly it is in this bill. And I thought it made a lot of sense to help them retire that debt that they already have. The hatchery's there already. The work is being done to renovate it and has been done to renovate it. And it's clearly a way to contribute something to the sound. And I'm not interested in looking at my own personal philosophy about wild stocks and mixed stocks. And that certainly wasn't my intention, and I hope nobody perceives it to be that.
Representative Cabino.
Brief at ease.
The House Entity. Back to order. Amendment 18 is still before us and under debate. Representative Kopanen.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I haven't risen to speak on this bill or any of the amendments yet, but I haven't voted for a single amendment yet, largely because I believe the committee process is where these amendments should be raised. I realize there are sometimes errors made in committee. I had some problems with some of the changes that occurred in committee. But in committee, at least, we have the possibility of asking for other information for independent from independent sources, from technical sources, from the departments concerned and the like. Doing it on the floor, we rely on each other's assertions, which may be correct or may be mistaken. So I don't think... And especially when we get to 18 and 19 amendments, it gets to be a little long. I don't think that the process works when it's dragged out this well, this far. So I intend for that reason to vote against the amendment, though it may be a splendid one otherwise.
Representative Jackal.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I had supported the original Fort Rich Amendment, but in listening to the argument that's been put forth by the representative from Craig, I'd say that it has a lot of merit, and I would support Amendment number 18. Thank you.
Representative Cabino.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, originally this bill, as it was written, didn't have any money for hatcheries and per se. And when there was an amendment made on the House Finance Committee to include a construction and expansion of a hatchery, obviously the people of the spill-affected area were saying, you know, we were in essence told no hatchery money in this bill. So now that there was hatchery money in there, It made, I believe they had a better argument for including also their hatchery money. So I would support this amendment and vote for it in that it does not take out all the money for Fort Rich. In fact, it still leaves them more than half of it, but then allows the hatcheries in the Sound to also share in this bill.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 18 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
26 yeas, 13 nay.
Amendment number 18 has been adopted. The bill is back before us in third reading. Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move a technical amendment only, amendment number 19. It has no substantive change, just language.
Are there any objections to going back to second reading?
I apologize, Mr. Speaker.
Are there any objections to going back to second reading? Hearing none, we're in second reading. Representative Cabina.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I would move amendment number 19. It is only a technical amendment and does not change any numbers or figures.
Are there objections to amendment number 19? Are there objections? Hearing none, amendment number 19 has been adopted. The bill goes back before us in third reading. Representative Navarre.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just note that in the draft that we have before us on page 5, line 6, the amount is $11 million, and I believe that was amended by previous action and should reflect $14 million.
Page 596. Madam Clerk, do you have that? Representative Navarre, would you state that again?
Page 5, line 6, the draft that we have, finance amendment draft, it says $11 million, it should say $14
million. Okay. The bill is back before us in third reading, under debate. Representative Davidson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. My only comment would be that this fish has been oiled and fried long enough. It is time to move on.
Representative Parnell.
Mr. Speaker, I just wanted the record to reflect that I remain unconvinced of Kachemak Bay, but not enough to stall the bill for a Senate consideration. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Leader.
The clerk's information, that figure was Amendment 7.
Representative Taylor, are you going to fry this a while?
No, I'm not, Mr. Speaker. I would at this time, however, move that we table further action on this legislation to a time certain, that being tomorrow, tomorrow's calendar. The reason for bringing that motion is that Representative Hanley is not available to be on the floor today. He is ill. And that in the past, what we have done is when a member was ill and had significant amendments or at least debate they wished to bring on a piece of legislation, we gave them the courtesy of time so they could get back here. At least we've seen that done frequently with the majority members when they could not be present on the floor, either due to illness or travel. Mr. Hanley brought two different amendments, one of which was a very close one, failing only due to a 2020 vote. I know he wished to bring those same amendments today, Mr. Speaker, and by moving forward at this time, we would prevent him from doing so.
Normally, this body operates that way, except in the last 10 days of a session where it's impossible to do that. I see nothing that would prevent another individual, perhaps, from going back and trying to accomplish that which you suggest that Representative Hanley would like to do, but he's not there to verify that he would like to do it.
Yeah,
I think he felt that he was soundly defeated. And
well,
the motion before us is to table. That's the chair is not feeling it's in the best interest of the body, but are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 411 Finance Amendment be tabled until the following day? Members may proceed to vote.
Does any member fail to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the Representative Donnelly?
No to yes.
From no to yes. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Hudson?
No to yes.
From no to yes. Representative Jackal?
No to yes.
Let's go slow here. From no to yes. Representative Foster?
No to yes.
And he punched it. Representative Ivan?
No to yes.
From no to yes. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Larson?
No to yes.
No to yes. Would the clerk, Representative Gail Phillips?
No to yes.
From no to yes. Does any other member wish to change his or her vote? Will the clerk tally the board?
19 yeas, 20 nay.
Representative Navarre? Okay. The motion fails. Representative Navarre? The House stand at ease.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. That motion failing, I would move at this time that we return from third to second reading for purposes of rescinding our action in failing to adopt amendment number 16.
Hearing objections. The motion before us is to go back to second reading. Are there objections? Yes. Representative Finkelstein, there are objections. The motion before us, Representative Taylor, you have moved to go back to second reading for the purpose of an amendment or rescission. Representative Finkelstein.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. There were at least 17 amendments that occurred on last Thursday. Many of them were close votes. I think the offer that was made among members of this body is that we try to go back to second under the first round that occurred. If we continue this process, we could be here forever. With 17 amendments, we allow 2 amendments to the amendments. That's 42 amendments, something like that, 51 amendments we could have. And I'll tell you, if one of the, you know, if these pass, I'll have my own. I lost a lot of those amendments too. I'd love to go back and reconsider and have new votes, but I don't think we should go back to second at this time. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Zawacki.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I hope that we are allowed to go back to second reading. I will just say for myself that I have allowed and voted yes on every request to go back to second reading, regardless of who put that there, and I would hope that we give the representative, who unfortunately isn't here, the courtesy of at least allowing his amendment to be reconsidered again.
Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Members did allow me the opportunity to go back to second reading today, which I appreciate, and I will vote to go back for this purposes of addressing the 2 amendments that were spoke of by the minority leader only in the interest of the representative that wasn't here to speak for himself.
Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 411 be returned to second reading for the purpose of an amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk lock the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Representative Choquette. Would the clerk tally the board?
25 yeas, 14 nay.
We're in second reading.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to thank the body for allowing me that opportunity on behalf of the representative who is not here today, and in offering amendment, what I'm actually offering instead is the, then this is the only time this can be brought, is when reconsideration is not available. And thus, my motion at this time is that the House rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number 16. I suppose I should have that.
No, no, that's just a procedure motion. What you're doing is asking us that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number 16, which puts 16 before us for debate.
That's correct. And this amendment, for those who don't recall, was the full funding of Kachemak Bay. I mean, it's, you have to understand, this is not a motion that I would normally be making were it not for Mr.
The question before us is whether or not we're going to rescind our action.
That's correct.
Yeah. Are you ready for the question? Representative Donnelly.
Can we have a brief at ease?
Will the House stand at ease? Will the House come back to order? Before the at ease, we have the question before us here of whether or not to rescind our actions in failing to adopt amendment number 16. Are you ready for the question? We are under call, are we not? Yeah, we are missing one member that had a problem with ballots.
For the call, are we allowed to discuss this motion?
Yeah, limitedly.
While we're waiting for the call, Mr. Speaker, I would just say that some people think that if you vote to go back to second reading, which we have done, and I vote for that also as a courtesy all the time, but this vote is really not the same. This vote here, if you agree with your vote you made before and you failed to adopt this amendment, then you would go ahead and vote no now so we don't have to vote twice on it.
I will take that as a parliamentary inquiry. You're absolutely correct here. If you were satisfied with your original vote upon the question, Representative Mackey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am having a lot of mixed feelings on this particular vote in light of the fact that the minority leader is asking us to essentially fully fund Kachemak Bay. And I see he's had a change of heart over the weekend, so I'm having to give it serious thought.
Okay, we do have a full House. The call has been satisfied. Representative Lehman.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to clarify one thing, because I think the instructions you just gave may be a little bit misleading. That is, if you're satisfied with your vote and your own vote and with the vote of the body, then you would probably want to vote no. But if you're satisfied with your own vote but dissatisfied with the vote of the body, then you'd want to vote yes on this. So I'm glad I clarified that.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number 16? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
20 yeas, 19 nays.
Nays rescind. That's an interesting thing. I will say that, to rescind our action, but we have rescinded our action. It is before us. It's not a. Takes the same number for a rescission as what it would take to get it, so that means a majority of those that had voted on the amendment. So we are at the amendment is before us live. Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would now move adoption of House Amendment number 16.
Hearing objection.
There being objection, I think it's been sufficiently debated. It basically provides for the full funding of Kachemak Bay. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
It would not be necessary to move the amendment because it is alive before us after rescission.
Representative, do we have an Addies?
Yes. Let's come back to order. The Addies. We have amendment number 16 back before us and under debate. Has the call been satisfied? Yes. Are you ready for the question? The question is, shall amendment number 16 be adopted? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
18 yea, 21 nay.
Amendment number 1 has failed. That brings the bill back before us in third reading and 16, under debate. Third reading, under debate.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move at this time that we return to second reading for the purposes of rescinding our action in failing to adopt amendment number one by the same representative. Briefly, I assume people will object. Briefly, it would be to move back to amendment number one was the question of taking out words, quote, or moratoria on timber harvesting, end of quote, at three different sections within the bill.
Okay, the motion before us is to move back to second reading for the purpose of discussion of an amendment. Are there any objections? Hearing objections. Ready for the question? Question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 411, Finance Amended, be returned to second reading for the purpose of an amendment? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? The clerk locked the roll. Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Mm-hmm. Representative Gail Phillips?
Okay.
Have you voted? Okay. The clerk tally the board.
22 yeas, 17 nay.
We have returned to second reading. Representative Taylor.
Yes, at this time I would move that we rescind our action in failing to adopt amendment number one.
Hearing objection. Ready for the question.
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Cabina.
Could I just real briefly, Mr. Speaker, I believe these words need to be retained in here because some of this area that has been set aside for timber buybacks and land buybacks, there is not a good value established yet, and they do need a period of time. So those words, I believe, give the department flexibility in order to deal with the issue.
Representative Sharp.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. It's also my understanding that that could be the only expenditure. The total monies listed in each section for that could be expended totally for that moratorium. And the situation is that a lot of that, those sections that says that they're, it authorizes to buy land, there's no way that the land can be bought. So it looks like that part of the language in there does not mean anything because the land cannot be sold. So it's going to end up going for timber rights or moratorium.
Ready for the question. Question is, shall the House rescind its action in failing to adopt amendment number one? Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
19 yea, 20 nay.
Amendment number one has not been rescinded. And we're back in third. Representative Randy Phillips.
Speaker, I move that we go from second to third reading to rescind our action and failing to adopt amendment number 18.
Okay, the motion before us to go back to second reading to deal with amendment number 18, which we dealt with earlier today. Since the bill is under reconsideration, that is the only way the representative can get back.
Point of order.
Representative Cabina.
I believe we adopted amendment number 18. Do you mean the amendment to the amendment? I'm confused. I thought we adopted
it. Yeah. Would
Mr. Speaker?
Well, would the House tend at ease from it, Randy? For the at ease, we had a situation before us where Representative Randy Phillips asked that this body go back to second reading for the purposes of rescinding our action in failing to adopt. In adopting Amendment 18, he wants to bring it out before us. Any debate? Representative Finkelstein.
Speaker, just briefly, I don't think it's discourteous to vote against this motion. It's the same members on this body who just made this decision an hour ago. This isn't, you know, likes of the something we did a few days ago or something. I just don't get it.
Ready for the question. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Bill 411, Finance Amendment, be returned to second reading for the purpose of an amendment? The members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Would the clerk lock the roll? Does any member desire to change his or her vote? Would the clerk tally the board?
18 yea, 21 nay.
The bill is before us still in third reading and under debate. Representative Taylor.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. Now that I think we're through the amendment, rescission, and reconsideration process, this is our last opportunity to discuss and debate this bill in its final form as it leaves this body. There have been some changes made in the legislation on the floor, and I applaud the body for that. I think the debate has been extensive, and I won't further delay it. My only concern is that, and this was expressed a couple times, I believe, yesterday, the broadness of title that this legislation still carries as it leaves this body would lend me to be very concerned about how it may yet reappear. Some reincarnate form much different from that contemplated on this floor and that has been so significantly debated. As a consequence...
Representative Navarre, state your point of order.
Speaker, I think that's inappropriate to make those types of remarks pending some action by some other body. We're not supposed to talk about them. I don't think we ought to talk about any product except that that's before us.
Representative Navarre, you're absolutely correct on your point of order, even though it's understood by this body how the process does go. But can you continue, Representative Taylor, in
yes,
order?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Speaker. My concern was not to address what another body might do, but merely to have this body recognize the very generic nature of the title and that those types of activities would be available once it left here. I don't want to imply that they might be used, but that they are available.
Representative Navarre.
Mr. Speaker, the minority leader must refer to the version of the bill that's before us, what might happen to that bill someplace else.
Representative Taylor, you must confine your remarks to the bill as before us, not the political process beyond this body. So, please, can you continue your remarks
in order? I
certainly
can, Mr. Speaker. Let me be more specific. I was trying to be generic, but let me be more specific. I'm dealing with the bill before us, which is an act making appropriations for restoration projects relating to the Exxon Valdez oil spill and providing for an effective date. My only comment is that is a tremendously wide-open, generic title, and that we should be fearful of that. Now, my second comment, that was not me that raised it yesterday. It was raised by a majority member. My second comment is, and interestingly enough, nobody objected to him bringing it up, but my second comment is that this bill is still doing a major disservice to resource development in the state of Alaska. Each of us pledged, I should say, or most of us in this body pledged, to the people who elected us that we would come to Juneau and we would work very hard to try and diversify our economy. That's a phrase often shows up in statements made by members of this body.